You're listening to the Slavic Literature Pod, your shelf help guide to all things Slavic. I'm Cameron Lalana.
And I'm Matt Garasimovich.
And today we're covering part 2, chapter 45 of Vasily Grossman's Life and Fate, continuing along with the Jewish arrivals in the death camp as they are brought to a yard to be inspected for any particular workers who the SS would like before the rest are separated to be sent to, as they're told, the showers, the bathhouse, all while a band plays on in the background. It's like for Life and Fate, it's like a medium-sized chapter, I would say, not one of the longer ones, but definitely the ones where like the least amount of happens, but the most amount of text is, or among those at least, with a lot of pontificating in between. Is there anywhere here that you'd like to start?
Well, the music is strange, right? There's a lot of emphasis on what it means to experience music when you are like on the brink of death. And the idea that it's a certain experience that you can't understand unless you have done it or have been in that situation, which is quite interesting. And I think it kind of like it ties into this a little bit larger theme, I think, on sort of fullness of life. And it's, I don't have a complete cohesive thought on it at the moment, just that this is a recurring aspect and a difficult part. But there's like some acknowledgement by Grossman that, there's this line here that says, people knew that life was more than happiness. It was also grief. And freedom was both painful and difficult. It was life itself. And so it's sort of a difficult point to make at this point in the book, because you know where this is going, to say that, you know, part of life is also this grief, and fullness of life doesn't necessarily mean a happy life. It also means the bad of life. And it's sort of maybe it's like a justification for why this part is in the book, because there are numerous reasons to justify it, but perhaps another reminder, right, that that this book tries to encapsulate a certain aspect of life, or maybe it tries to encapsulate the fullness of life, and that is also the really terrible, terrible aspects that we're going to witness over the next few days.
Yeah, definitely. And the music was really interesting to me too, because I think it's contrasted against what comes next when the workers, or the 30 or so who are chosen to presumably be put to work and who are separated from the thousands who are then condemned to die. The narrator asks us this series of questions. And you know, it's a haunting part, right? And this is, for me, the most affecting. I didn't write about it because I don't think there's anything to say about it other than to experience it and to read it. How can one convey the feelings of a man pressing his wife's hand for the last time? How can one describe that last quick look at a beloved face? Yes, and how can a man live with the merciless memory of how, during the silence of parting, he blinked for a moment to hide the crude joy at having he felt at having managed to save his life? How could he ever bury the memory of his wife handing him a packet containing her wedding ring, a rusk, and some sugar lumps? How could he continue to exist, seeing the glow in the sky flaring up with renewed strength? Now the hands he had kissed must be burning, now the eyes that admired him, now the hair whose smell he could recognize in the darkness, now his children, his wife, his mother. How could he ask for a place in the barracks nearer the stove? And so on and such forth. And it's such an affecting part. And the narrator doesn't ask us any answers to this, because how could you answer it? I think it would cheapen it to try to answer it, because this is a point I thought about making in the post, but I decided not to because I thought it was too complex. So instead, I'm going to make it without planning it live. Perfect. Into this podcast. So I'm sure that'll go well. And this is going to sound stupid, but bear with me. This book is a construction. All these characters are based on Grossman's research. None of them are real. He is making all of them up. He is controlling the narrative of how we see this. So essentially, you know, we're not looking at the reality of the Holocaust. We are looking at the Holocaust portrayed through Grossman's writing, and therefore it is subject to his possible distortions, right? And something I've kind of noticed is that a lot of times for individual characters, of course, Grossman gives them their life, gives them their emotions. We get to see them in specificity. But a lot of characters like this, sometimes the narrator will almost resist specifically naming what they're feeling, more so just giving us the situation and asking questions about it. Almost as if it's also an interrogation for Grossman himself, not to say like, well, you know, I'm trying to tell you what this was like, so here's what happened, here's what people felt. No, we don't get that. Instead, we get almost someone like standing next to us asking, you know, how, you know, these are these things that happened in this situation, how could one feel? And there's no answer. There's just more questions. And I think that's a resisting the urge to put too many words in the mouths of others and more so make us aware of the emotions than they might have felt, but it also make us aware that this itself is a kind of a guess at it too, but of course a quite educated one at that. And you could see that even more deeply in the music, where the narrator doesn't give a specific emotion that this music unlocks in everyone, but rather it just unlocks something for them, something at the core of their own soul, describing it that in the same way a child song can appear to make an old man cry. But it isn't the song itself he cries over. The song is simply a key to something in his soul. Their souls are still kind of their own, because we can't truly know that, so we can only begin to guess at it. And I think that's an interesting way to approach it, and one I appreciate. I think it would cheapen it to try to fully explain everyone rather than to pose us these questions and then continue along with examining this character who we've spent so much time with.
Yeah, I think that this is this whole book is an instance where you read it and you do know more than when you started, but you also have a different set of questions when you finish. And they are the type of questions that are sort of like these questions, where when you ask them, you really mean it. You really want to know. There, it's not just like an exploration, it's almost a desperate grasping at wondering how, wondering why, or wondering what, whatever it is for you when you finish. And unfortunately, a lot of them are the types of questions that cannot be answered. And that's a fun little thing that we all get to sit with, but you have to do it because you're already like, I don't know what, almost 600 pages in. You got to finish it.
you've come too far to stop at this point.
That's right.
This reading cycle is too big to fail.
Yep, that's right.
yeah, I think that's about all I had to say about today's chapter.
Yeah, it was a tough one, but it was a good one.
Yeah, I agree. Well,
in that case, I think that means you will be hearing from us again soon.